that I always do when I'm in Michigan is to go to the Cherry Grove Township Cemetery to visit my dead relatives. Now, I do have a lot of relatives, and all of them at the cemetery are dead. It's a smaller cemetery with woods on three sides, very peaceful there. I just wander around, looking at the tombstones. So many of them are people that I knew, old neighbors, some of them people younger than me, people that I remember. But there are many of people that I didn't know that I remembered. There's tombstone of Jesse Holly, my grandmother's first husband, her true love. Every time she went to the cemetery, she would always go first to Jesse's grave. Died of appendicitis, leaving her as a 23-year-old widow. And then my grandfather came along. And there's Lando Lucky's tombstone. Now, Lando Lucky was not a nice guy. He was mean, and he was a thief and a liar. He and my grandfather were bitter enemies. Yet when Lando was dying, he asked to see my grandfather, because he asked my grandfather to see that he had a decent burial instead of a wooden marker, a common grave. Were they friends? No, they were not. But my grandfather had the reputation that if he said he would do something, it would be done. And he said he would do it, and it was done. And so when I see Lando's tombstone or my grandfather's tombstone, I remember that incident. And next to my grandfather's same tombstone is my grandmother. Whenever I see that, not every time, but many times, I'll just say, I'll see you later. The last time I was there, I was with our son, Andy, and his wife, Jen, and little Axel, aged 2.5 years old. And as we're walking through the cemetery, Axel would be jumping on the tombstones, as little boys do. Jen said, Axel, don't do that, it's disrespectful. But just then, we came to the tomb of my parents, who died before Axel was born. And I said to Axel, this one you can jump on. They would be happy to have you here under any circumstances. Axel, of course, didn't understand. But for that moment, it made me so aware of the passing of generations. My parents were young, once young. Someday, hopefully, Axel will be old. Generations come, generations go. For as Isaiah said, the grass withers, the flower fades. As I've turned 65, I realize that I'm no longer young by any definition. Or as my cousin said, at some point, your check engine light comes on. Mine has. I have one aunt on each side still living, each in their 90s, each not doing well. There's a line I heard, it's November, and fast fall the leaves that sheltered our generation. That's true of the generation that helped me grow up. It's true of my generation. Time affects all of us. None of us are immune. Or as Isaiah said, the grass withers, the flower fades. When he spoke these words, the nation of Israel was in ruins. Babylonian had destroyed any structure, the temple was in ruins, the priests and leaders off in exile. There was incredible destruction. The once proud nation had been reduced to ashes. And when he said the grass withers and flower fades, he wasn't talking about grass and flowers. He was talking about a nation. He was talking about people, talking about life. Nations eventually fall. Generations pass into history. People who were once young and strong become old. I've done so many services in nursing homes. And it doesn't matter how early I get there. There's always someone there waiting for the service to start. We wait, we visit, others shuffle in, wheel in, are wheeled in. I see them gray and wrinkled with the years showing on their faces and their postures. But once, every single one of them was young and strong. Once they had everything of life in front of them, the grass withers, flower fades. But I'm not sure that the grass withering and the flower fading is such a bad thing when it's in season. Out of season is a very different thing, a sad thing. But in season, It just is part of life. It makes room for new life to come. Just part of the rhythm of life. In Natalie Babbitt's book, Tuck Everlasting, a pioneer family named Tuck blunders upon a spring that bestows on them unchanging life. For a while, they weren't aware of it. Then slowly, they realized that the world was changing around them, and they were not changing. At first, they thought it was a blessing. Then they realized it was not. They watched generations be born, grow up, and pass on. All the while, they remained unchanged. And old man Tuck says of that, it ain't natural. The old is supposed to pass to make room for the new. That's the way it's supposed to be. And if I could get back in that wheel of life and change like the world changes, I would do it in a heartbeat. Even if it meant I would die in that heartbeat. Then he says, don't be afraid of death. Be afraid of the unlived life. The grass withers, the flower fades. That's how the world is put together. Now, if the grass and flowers could speak, what would they say? Would they speak about the glories of their season? Would they speak about the sadness their season is over? Or would they speak of other glories yet to come? Grass and flowers can't speak, but we can. And we can understand more than just the season. The prophet of Isaiah said, the grass withers, the flower fades. But tell me, what was it that he then said? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, it's helpful to know the word for word is breath and spirit. It's all the same. The word of the Lord endures forever. The breath of the Lord endures forever. The spirit of the Lord endures forever. In the end, our hope is not in our nation, not in our strength, not in our stock portfolio, or even our own families. In the end, those things will fade and pass away. In the end, our final and indeed our only hope is in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we haven't truly understood that yet, then we haven't truly understood why it is that we call Jesus Savior. Life is short. But that spirit, that word, that breath of God is forever. When all is said and done, this is the essence of our faith. There is a God, and God's enduring word is of life. This is the Christian hope. In 1976, I finished college, and within a week, I left to go to Thailand. I knew that I'd be gone for at least 2 years. My grandma Nixon was in a nursing home and not doing all that well. She had good days and she had bad days, sometimes good moments and bad moments. In those lucid moments, she was very aware that death was coming, which for her wasn't that big of a deal. 7 years before, she had a little girl by the name of May. One night, she woke up to see an angel perched on May's crib. She described the angel as being beautiful and masculine at the same time, and he looked at her with such love and compassion. When she woke up, she knew that baby May was gone, and she always said that the angel took May to heaven. She made a point to personally tell this story to every one of her 30-some grandkids. Part of it was to talk about death because when you've seen an angel, death feels very, very different. That day before I left, my dad and I went to say goodbye to Grandma. Seemed to be a good day. We talked about the weather here and in Thailand. Weather was always a big subject for my grandma. We talked about what I would be doing. She asked how long I'd be gone. I said over 2 years. There was no way that she would be alive when I got home. I knew it. She knew it even more. When it came time to go, I gave Grandma a hug and said, goodbye, Grandma. Grandma hugged me as hard as her frail arms could and said, I'll see you later. Now, this was one of those wait, what moments that didn't hit me until I was out the door. Now, on one hand, I'll see you later is a common thing to say, a common way of parting, some things you said all the time. Maybe in that moment, she just gave me a common farewell. And so often she wasn't fully aware of what she was saying and what was going on. On the other hand, given the circumstances, we weren't going to be seeing each other later in this world. But this was Grandma Nixon. If anyone could sneak a profound faith statement into a common greeting, it was her on a good day. I don't really know what she meant, but I've chosen to believe that she truly knew the meaning at the deepest level. And so, when I visit her grave, I often say, I'll see you later. The grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but we who know Jesus Christ will live. This is the enduring.